Well, good morning again. Hope you're having a great Tuesday today, and we're looking forward to a great time of fellowship in the Word of God. Pray the Lord will bless you with a wonderful day to magnify the Lord and glorify His name. We're in a Bible study on our new bodies that Jesus Christ is giving us, not our tent, which we have today, the skene, which is temporary, that we're living in, our spirit and our soul, but the house, the eternal home that God's going to give us, our new and glorified bodies, that's going to last for all the eternities, and that we get a chance to enjoy them and serve the Lord and all the different things that we will be doing. And I pray the Lord will bless you in our Bible study today. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Almighty God, and that God will encourage you today in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, Sue and I, our ministry now is traveling all over. Of course, we preach, teach, book distribution, ministries of all kinds of preaching the word and teaching the word of God, newspaper articles all over the country, the privilege of doing Gospel Dynamite with Brother Tommy and WDYN and the staff here on Tuesday mornings. And I pray the Lord will bless you as we study the word of God together. I think of all the years I've had the privilege to preach at WDYN and all the years of being a part of Gospel Dynamite since 1991, the times with Dr. Robertson and Dr. Faulkner and so many special people that have just loved the Lord and served the Lord, Brother Scotty Markham, and you know, we always teamed up. He would go down, Bob Sercio and Brother Jerry Mathias, and just wonderful times and wonderful memories. Well, let's get into our Bible study today. And we're talking about our new bodies. And remember, we started over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 as we were looking at this passage of Scripture where the Apostle Paul, inspired of the Holy Spirit, says this, "For we know, no doubt about it, no doubt at all, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle," the word tent, skene, "were dissolved, we have a building of God." A building, that's that permanent, solid structure, our new body. A house not made with hands. It wasn't human made. It wasn't in this world. It was made by God himself. And he speaks it right into existence with his wonderful power. A house not made with hands, eternal. An eternal home, an eternal body in the heavens. "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our new house, which is from heaven." There's a desire in every one of us for heaven. We want to be with Jesus. We're looking forward to those new bodies. And the older we get, the more we enjoy looking forward to it. Amen? He says, "If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." You're not going to be naked because you're going to have a new and glorified body. "For we that are in this tent, tabernacle, do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed." Nobody's just praying, "Lord, I hope I can go and die today." "But clothed upon, that mortality may be swallowed up of life." And then he says, "Now he that hath wrought us for the self, same thing is God, who hath given unto us the earnestness of the Spirit, as the Spirit of Almighty God witnesses to us of this clear truth, that we're going to have a new and glorified and wonderful body." Now, we started last week talking about the requirement of the resurrected body, that you've got to be saved. If you're going to get a new body, you've got to be born again. Amen? And if you're not saved, I encourage you, trust Jesus by simple faith. "Whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He is the Son of God. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to save you. Ask God to change your life through the shed blood of His Son. So first, the requirement of the resurrection, either going through the rapture or the death gate, is to be saved. The second thing we looked at, the result then, is a new and different resurrection body. A glorified body. And we were talking about four ways our bodies are different because of the new created body that God has given us. So first we talked about our body will be indestructible. No more sorrow, no more pain. It's not going to get sick. It's not going to hurt. and it's eternal, and you're going to feel good every day because there's no night in heaven. Every day is the day. You don't even need sleep with this body anymore, and it's indestructible. The second thing we talked about was our body is identifiable. They'll know you. Your friends, your family, your loved ones will know you. I'll be David Bowler in heaven. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, David Bowler. And I'll be me, but I'll have a new and glorified body. And what a wonderful thing it's going to be. All right, let's begin again today. Now, the third thing, as we're looking about this description of our new body, as God gives us a understanding of what it is and what it's going to be like as we go along, that it's identifiable. Now, look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 43, the latter part of the verse says, it is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Number three, our body will be incredible. When we come out of the grave, we will be full of power, vigor, health, personified, supermen and women. Amen. The weakness of our eternal bodies will be a thing of the past. It's sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. A natural glow and beauty, strong, healthy, energetic, emotional enthusiasm, vitality, mind you'll know as you're known. In John 20:19, when Jesus appeared to his disciples, remember, he didn't use the door, he just walked right through it, which tells us the laws of the nature of this world have no impact on this new and glorified body, that we have the ability to transport ourselves from one place to another. It'd be interesting to know how that happens, whether we think I want to be here, and zoom, there we are. We talked last week about Jesus in Luke 24, verse 31, where Jesus on the Emmaus Road talking to the men that were there. He revealed himself to them, opened the scriptures to them. When he finished, the Bible says, and he vanished out of their sight. He'd gone. In the ascension in Acts 1:11, he defied gravity. That they're standing there watching him. He just ascends up to heaven. Now, folks, listen. We can't even imagine what it'll be like to live in these glorified bodies. Bodies that are not limited as our earthly bodies, that are not going to be weak or tired or pained or suffering, but are going to be new because of the power of Almighty God, empowered and eternal. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this is where Paul talks so much about the new body, and we are kind of pulling the truths out from there. Our body will be indestructible, identifiable, incredible in its health and strength and energy. And fourth, our bodies will be infinite. Listen to verse 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Here the Apostle Paul draws a clear distinction between a natural body and a spiritual body. You see, Adam is the image of the earthly body, and Jesus is the image of the resurrected eternal body. Listen to verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, Jesus, was made a quickening or a living spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which was spiritual, but that which is natural. So the first body that Adam had was a natural body, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth. Adam's of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. So when we have children, they're like us. They have earthly bodies like us. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. So if you're born again, you're going to have a body like Jesus. You're going to have a heavenly body like the Lord. And then verse 49, he says, listen, as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So you see, we will not be controlled by the flesh, our old world appetites, our old world life and body and style, but we will be totally controlled by the Spirit of Almighty God and the new Spirit, the regenerated Spirit that is within us, within these new bodies. So we have to put off these old bodies to get our new bodies. Listen to verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You can't inherit the eternities in this old body that you've got. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So we got to put off these old bodies to get our new ones. Our new bodies are totally prepared for eternity. These bodies are totally unsuited for heaven, which is why we die. It's a transition. We're putting off this body and we're getting ready to put on our new body. We literally transfer from one to the other. Now look at the order of events. In verse 51, as the scripture says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Remember, he's talking about the bodies fall asleep. But we shall all be changed, transformed, metamorphosed. Every one of us will be changed. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised. Look at this. Incorruptible. Incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So all saved people will be changed. Those that have died, their bodies are asleep in the grave. Their spirit and their soul are with the Lord. Remember, we taught there's no such thing as soul sleep. You're an eternal being. The moment you close your eyes in death, you open them in the presence of the great King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That you're spending all the eternities with Him in this new and glorified body. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So all people will be changed. Some that have died will be resurrected. When Jesus comes back in the rapture into the clouds, their spirit and soul will come with them. God will raise that body. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those bodies will be glorified. They'll be reunited. Those of us that are alive, if we're alive on the earth, God says we shall be changed. Amen? What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truth, a blessed hope that's ours. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about this. And those that have died, we're going to be raised. We're going to be gathered together. Think of all the hallelujah, the hugging, the rejoicing, to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, to be with our loved ones as Jesus Christ comes in the clouds, and that evermore shall we be with the Lord. Those of us who are alive are miraculously changed. Boy, wouldn't you like to be alive? Don't you hope you're alive when the rapture comes? That would be great. I wish the Lord had come soon. What a glorious moment to look forward to. Joni Erickson, you know, as a young lady dove off a bridge and hit something that broke her back and paralyzed her from the neck down, and how she's used her life to glorify the Lord and bless Him. And let me read you her testimony, if I might, for just a moment. And you just think about this. Many of us look forward to heaven more now than we did when our bodies functioned well. She said, somewhere in my broken, paralyzed body is the seed of what I shall become. The paralysis makes what I am to become all the more grand when you contrast these atrophied, useless legs against splendorous, resurrected legs. I'm convinced that if there are mirrors in heaven, she puts the parentheses, why not? The image I'll see will be unmistakable Joni, although a much better, brighter Joni. I still can hardly believe it. I, with shriveled, bent fingers, atrophied muscles, gnarled knees, no feeling from the shoulders down, will one day have a new body light, bright, clothed in righteousness, powerful, dazzling. Can you imagine the hope this gives someone with spinal cord injury like me? As someone who is bound with cerebral palsy, brain injured, or who has multiple sclerosis? Imagine the hope this gives someone who is manic depressive. See, no other faith, no other philosophy promises new bodies, new hearts, new minds. Only in the gospel of Jesus Christ do hurting people find incredible hope in the Lord. Boy, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truth. So you see, we'll have a great, great harmony of mind and body and spirit and emotion in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible also says these bodies will shine, Matthew 13:43, and then shall the righteous shine both as the sun and the kingdom of their Father. You see, our God is the God. He's light. God is light. We're going to be like Him. There'll be a radiance about the child of Almighty God. And then, not only that, in Daniel 12:13, Daniel says this, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. He talks about being a soul winner, they that bring people to Christ. You're going to be like a, your witnessing is going to determine part of your brightness, part of your shine, whether you're a 5-watt, 10-watt, 100-watt bulb. But there's going to be a vibrant, healthy glow about the child of God in their new body. That's what we call children of light, the truth of the light of the Word of God. Our God is light, and we're going to have a radiance that reflects the glory of Almighty God, kind of like the moon does the sun. And we'll all be around the age of 33 when Jesus Christ was resurrected. And as far as what would the physical body then appear like, children, seniors, all of us will be alike. If you die as a child, you're not going to mind a baby the rest of your life, rest of eternity. Or if you're old, you're not going to be old throughout eternity. We're going to get a new body. We know not what we shall be, but we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And then the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, so when this corruptible, that which dies, shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death will not win. Death will not be the victor. He says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We go out to that cemetery and there's a sadness. We don't sorrow as others who have no hope. But there's a sadness because our loved ones are gone. We're going to miss them. We're not going to be able to talk with them and fellowship with them while they're in heaven. We will when we get back to glory. And so there's a sadness. And it seems like old death has the victory. But God says it will not. It will not. Because those bodies are going to be resurrected. Those bodies are going to be lifted up. They're going to be rejoined to that soul and spirit. Now listen. In verse 56 he says, the sting of death is sin. See, that's the problem. That's the problem in the world today, sin. We're trying to solve all these problems with education, with politics, and boy, what a mess that is. The only hope is Jesus. The only hope is to be born again. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. If you're going to see heaven, he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And dear friend, if you've never been saved, you need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He's the hope. Listen, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So our hope is in Jesus. And you don't want to miss heaven. If you're not saved, you just, by the providence of God, tuned in this broadcast, and as God brought you across so you could hear the Word of God and the truth that God loves you and Jesus died for you, that He's given His life for you, then, my friend, you need to trust Him by simple faith. You say, well, that Brother David, that sounds too easy. It is easy. But it was costly. It wasn't easy for Jesus. Jesus came and suffered for our sake. Men spit on him, cursed him, mocked him. He was crucified. He was scourged. They beat him and pounded on him, hit him with their fists, pulled out his beard. His image was marred, Isaiah said, as no other man. And he took all of that so you wouldn't have to. He died. He took our sin upon him, he who had no sin, that we would be forgiven, that God could wash our sins away, that God could change our life. So if you don't know him, you don't want to miss heaven. Just as there's a heaven, there's an eternal lake of fire for those who are unsaved, for those who reject Jesus Christ, who said, I'll go my way, I'll do my own thing, I'm not going to trust the Lord, I'm not going to yield to him by faith, I'm not going to believe that. You don't believe it? It is true, though. The rich man died and opened his eyes in hell. The scripture says in Revelation, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and men were tormented day and night forever. You think about that. That eternal life, that eternal soul tormented in the lake of fire. You don't hear that anymore. You don't hear judgment talked about. Jesus came that we shouldn't perish. Jesus came that we wouldn't go to hell. Mercy and compassion upon us, that we may know the Lord Jesus Christ and we may have eternal life and peace and forgiveness. These old broken, sick, diseased bodies changed by the power of Almighty God. Amen. No more suffering, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. But if you reject Christ, you'll suffer for eternity. In the flames, the outer bodies, those old broken, sick bodies, you're not going to get a new body. You'll be in that old broken, diseased body with all the aches, the pains, the sorrow, the torments of hell for all the eons of time. And yet God today called you to come. The Revelation says, the church says, come. The Spirit of God says, come. You and I say, come. We invite people to come. And I'm trying to do everything I can to invite people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to know him by faith, to be saved, to be born again. So the Lord says, come, receive his salvation. Those of you that are saved, have lost loved ones, pray for them. I mean every morning, pray for them that God will work in their heart. Strive to be a witness to them. Let's win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are sick and struggling, go encourage them, love them. Remind them Jesus is coming, it's all going to be new. Amen. When you get down to that last part of life and you go into the hospitals and precious ones are sick. But you know one thing I've noticed? That God brings wonderful grace into their lives. I've gone many times into the hospital to sit down beside someone dying and sick to encourage them, and they encourage me. God's dying grace comes in and moves into their heart, moves into their life, into their soul, to encourage them in the Lord Jesus Christ and the wonderful, wonderful grace that God brings into our heart. Now listen, as we get ready to close, almost out of time, he says, therefore, my beloved brother, because you know this, because you're a brother and sister in Christ and you are saved and born again, be steadfast. That means stand true. Stand up for Jesus. Make a difference in this world. Let your light shine, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Be ye steadfast. Rise up, O men and women of God. Have done with lesser things. What he says, unmovable. I mean, man, you said, I'm standing on the word of God. I'm standing on the truth of God, and I'm going to be true. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Find things you can do. You ought to call Brother Tommy and say, how can I help at the station? You can pray, you can give, you can help clean up, work up, do things. They need things doing all the time. Find you a part of ministry. What's your ministry plan? What are you doing? Give out tracts. Be a blessing to people that are around you. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Watch this now. For as much as you know this, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not going to be wasted. Every drop of water, every drink you give out in the name of Jesus, God said there's going to be a reward for it. Every gospel tract, somebody will read it. God sees it. And as you're telling people Jesus loves them, and you're being a blessing and being a minister or a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we've enjoyed looking at our new bodies and looking forward to getting one, aren't you? Hallelujah. I hope the Lord comes today. Let's do a little witnessing and, boy, get ready for Jesus Christ to come. And that God may just use our lives today for His glory, for His honor. Keep Sue and I in your prayers as we continue to go forward. And if there's anything we can pray with you about, you could. We're still at our same address here in Chattanooga. You could mail us a little note, and we'll pray for you that God will bless you. Our email address is debowler@aol.com. And you could send us your prayer requests, and we'll pray for you. All of us ought to have a great prayer ministry and praying one for another. Let me encourage you to give to WDYN, undergird this station. Keep praying. One of our prayer projects together is to be able to double the power. We're praying for $50,000. Somebody will give. All of us ought to have a plan. And Brother Tommy, I'm sure in the future, as we're praying about that, as he's working the plan up, we'll be talking about that and how we can accomplish it together in the power and the glory of the Lord. Now, next broadcast, we're going to start on the next event, the judgment seat of Christ. We've been raptured. We got our new bodies now. And we're going to see the judgment seat of Christ where we kneel at the feet of Jesus and give account for our lives. And I hope you'll tune in with us each Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock here on Gospel Dynamite, WDYN, AM, and FM. We're going to be studying together the wonderful, wonderful Word of God. And it's my prayer today that God will love you and bless you and encourage you. And until next week, this is David Bowler, and it's my prayer that God will greatly bless and use your life.